Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone who's listening in on our CD or listening in on our internet ministries, the shut-ins, and anyone else who might be out and away from our church at this time. excuse me, I'm sorry. I have a couple announcements besides what's in the bulletin, and then I'm just going to refresh some people or kind of quickly go over what's in the bulletin. Today is potluck, and we would like to invite everyone to join us for potluck. We will, during potluck, be honoring and recognizing Angie Mitchell, our organist. She will be leaving or not playing for us soon anymore, and so we'd like to have cake and honor her down there today at potluck, so we would really appreciate it if everyone would come down. There's a card down there if you'd like to sign it. And we'll be having cake, and obviously we'll have potluck, so we'd like to invite everyone down for potluck also. I should have started out by saying welcome to Reverend Ray Strausser. This is Laura Lee's husband, and he is going to be taking her place for the rest of the month. Am I right? 3 weeks. So we'd like to welcome you, and good luck. You're up here with me. Okay, now on with the announcements. Annual reports were due last week, so if anyone didn't turn them in, shame on you. Please get them in. Linda really needs them to get the book put together, so please, please help her with that. Let's see. The scrapbooking dates have been changed. They would have been January 20th and 21st. They are changed to next week. And which is the 13th and the 14th. So if you're a scrapbooker and you're out there and you do come during that during the weekend for scrapbooking, please show up next weekend instead of in 2 weeks. Also, they do have in the bulletin about the Saginaw Spirit Night, and you'll see Earl for tickets for that. And the deadline for that is January 16th. So if you're planning on going, it is in the bulletin. Please read up on it. The chili cook-off, I'm just giving you a reminder. Please read that in your bulletin. And I think that's it from me. So we'll listen to the prelude. Thank you. Now, if you'll stand for the call to gathering. The people who sit in darkness,
have seen a great light.
Arise, let us leave the gloomy night.
Let us behold the glorious sight.
Make straight, then, the crooked highways.
Exalt the valleys and make low the mountains.
To prepare the way of the Lord. Let us celebrate the light of the world, for upon us has changed. The gathering hymn is on page 337. Praise the Lord Almighty.
Praise the Lord Almighty.
And now if you'll pray with me. We humbly ask for your presence today as we worship you. Help us in our daily lives as we face the challenges in life that separate us from your Holy Spirit. Give us strength to keep your words and spirit close to our hearts. Keep us ever faithful to your Son's teaching as we pray the prayer he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now if you'll turn to your neighbor for the passing of peace. If you'll turn in your hymnals to page 319, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And we'll sing as the children come forward for the children's sermon.
In here. How you doing? Well, do you guys know who I am? Am I a stranger? Well, I hope I'm not going to be a stranger. You know Pastor Laura Lee, right? She's the pastor here, usually on Sundays. She's away for a while. Well, I'm her husband. My name's Pastor Ray, and so I'm glad to meet each one of you. And I have a question for you. You ever get in trouble for breaking something? Did you? Give me a couple examples. What have you broken that you got in trouble for? What?
A glass doll.
A glass doll. Okay, that probably was something precious and you got in trouble for it. How about you?
My mom's vase.
Your mom's vase. Yeah, I broke one of those of my mom's. Yeah. How about somebody else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Did you guys get in trouble for breaking something? No? Okay. Well, I have two kids. Laura Lee and I have two kids. And sometimes they got in trouble for breaking things. What's this look like? A paddle. Does it look like a paddle? Now, you guys probably don't get paddled very much, but how many of you out here got paddled growing up? I got paddled growing up. Well, my son Jordan, he broke a few things at our house. And this is one of them. Well, it used to come apart. Anyway, he broke this. Can you see? Can you see the crack right there? This was an antique that Laura Lee picked up at a... And right there's a crack in it. And it used to come apart. See the crack right there? And he was playing with it one day when he was about 7 years old. And he thought he could go around hitting things in the house, like the couch or the thing. Not his sister. He didn't hit his sister. And this snapped in two right there. And he broke it in half. And so he got in a little bit of trouble with that. Now, sometimes we get in trouble when we break things. But there are some things that we have to break. Do you know that? There are some things that have to be broken. Now, hopefully not rules at your house. If there are rules at your house that your mom or dad or grandma put down, you need to follow those rules because that's the way we do it growing up. But there are some things that need to be broken. I'll show you one. What's that? A pretzel stick. I'd like to see you eat this without breaking it. Okay, you want to try? Is your mouth that big?
No.
I don't think so. Is your mouth that big?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, your mouth is that big. Let's go. Here we go. All right. All right. You gotta break this to eat it. Okay. So I'm gonna eat that a little bit later. Here's another pretzel that you don't have to break. No, don't have to break this one to eat that one. Sometimes, if you're at a picnic, you might break your spoon or your fork. And this is called a spork, right? Let's see if I can break this one. Yep, there it goes. It's broken. So sometimes you have to break some things. And here's something else you got to break. Candy cane. You can eat these by just sucking on them forever, but nobody has the patience to do that. So usually you bite them and you have to break them. Do you?
I just lick it and then I bite it off when it's white.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yep. So sometimes there are some things we have to break in life, and sometimes there are things like food. But sometimes there are a couple things that you have to break, and one of them is bad habits. Bad habits, like saying bad words, telling lies. You have to break those things. If they're bad habits in your life, you have to break those. You don't want to break a promise, but you do want to break a bad habit. So if maybe there's a bad habit in your life, and I have a few, I have to learn to break those. And Laura Lee, Pastor Laura Lee wants me to break a few of my bad habits, like eating chocolate. That's a bad habit. Yeah. Well, I hope that you will be able to find out what kind of things you should break and what kind of things you shouldn't break. All right? Guess what? I've got candy canes for each of you. All right? Now, don't make a mess with these. Uh-oh. Darn. There you go. All right. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for showing us that there sometimes we have to learn not to break things, and other times, Lord, we do have things to break, not just food, but more things like bad habits that get into our lives. We have to break those habits, and we want to keep our promises, not break them. Show us, Lord, as children, as adults, wherever we might be in life, show us, Lord, those things that we need to respect and those things that do need to be broken because it's the right thing to do. So help us to know that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up here. Yeah. You can go ahead and don't make a mess with those, okay? But you can eat them. We now have opportunity to worship the Lord by giving our tithes, gifts, and offerings unto Him. For centuries, the church has accepted the gifts of God's people for the good of God's kingdom, and we have that opportunity today. So I would like the ushers to come forward now and wait on us for our tithes, gifts, and offerings. Give your best gift to the Master. Let's dedicate these gifts to the Lord. To you, O Lord, we have given ourselves in worship today. To you, O Lord, we have given ourselves in praise. Now, Lord, we give to you the gifts that come from our storehouses, our treasures, which you have filled. Lord, we're thankful that we get to keep 90%. And you, Lord, we give 10%. Thank you, God, for taking today these gifts and using them in the work of your church, in the upbuilding of your kingdom in this place. We dedicate these gifts to that purpose and to you. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. We now have opportunity to share our celebrations and concerns with the Lord, and I'm just learning how you all do that here, so I suppose I'll do it better in the next couple of weeks, but we do want to share with the Lord now the prayer concerns that have been provided to me this morning. And if there are celebrations and concerns, we certainly will share those. Teresa King asks for a prayer for a house or a daycare inspection on Wednesday, and also some surgery that's happening on Wednesday afternoon. It's a big day for Teresa King. Where's Teresa? Where is Teresa? In the nursery. She's working. So we'll pray for her. For Michael Quinnen, we will want to pray. He asked us to pray for James Shaw, who's been in the hospital for a month. And we would lift James Shaw to the Lord. Rose Johnson is here today, and we're celebrating that she's back with her church family. And there she is, right there. Rose, we're glad you're here today. Are there other prayer requests? Do you share those out loud? Is that how you do that? Connie? Okay, Charles Hartegg. And someone else to share anything? Back here. What's her name? Do you know? Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am. What's his first name? Zachary Schultz. Other prayer concerns today? I'll share with you a celebration. Laura Lee arrived safely in her destination in Mexico, so she is enjoying sunshine, but I did tell her that we're enjoying sunshine here too. She might have been better to wait to February to go. I don't know, but she is doing well down there at the missionary with the missionaries, the American Baptist missionaries in La Paz, Mexico, and is settling in. She has two dogs to keep her company down there, and I have two dogs keeping me company up here, so we're not too lonely. But I do thank the Lord for Skype dating. I've learned how to do that after all these years. So pray for Laura Lee as she continues her rest and her research and planning that she's doing down there in the work that she'll be doing with those missionaries. We will also be praying together for those concerns listed in the bulletin today. We lift all of those now to the Lord. Let's pray. To you, O Lord, we lift up our hearts, and we do that, Lord, because we know you are the source of help and hope and strength. You're the giver of blessings. You're the provider of comfort. You're, Lord, the source of protection. You, Lord, are the ones that allow us to make it through the tough times. We could not do it without you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of the church in which we can share burdens and double our celebrations of joy as we share these concerns today. Lord, we lift up all these needs that have been mentioned today. You knew them before we mentioned them. But you want to be co-laborers with us, and we want to co-labor with you in bringing your goodness and blessing to bear in these lives. And so we pray, God, for those that are facing illness, those that are facing surgery, those that are being treated for cancer. We pray, O Lord, in the name of Christ, that you would minister to them, even, Lord, bring the miracle of healing, especially, Lord, to those with cancer. We know, Lord, you have the power beyond medicine that can heal. And we ask, Lord, you to release that in the lives of these that are on this list today. There are many who need protection, Lord. There are many who need provision. For our military, Lord, we pray for these soldiers mentioned here, but for all the military who serve away from home in harm's way, we pray, O God, that you would watch over and care for them where they are. Remind them today of the love of family and the gratitude of a nation as they serve overseas. We thank you, O Lord. We pray, Lord, for those that are struggling with losses, with deaths, and, and setbacks in life, we ask you, God, to comfort them and heal their grieving hearts. We pray, O God, that you would bring provision to those that are needing a home or a nursery inspection, Lord, and others, Lord, that need your provision in their lives in some way. We ask, O God, that you would provide that, for you are a good and giving of God. We thank you for it. Lord, we lift all these needs to you. We lift ourselves, our hearts, and all these dear ones to you. In the name of Christ, amen. Well, before sharing my message with you today, I'm so accustomed to seeing a clock. In my other church, I could always see a clock, and I have no idea what time it is, so that could be bad. But before sharing my message with you today, I just want to bring a couple of personal words. First of all, it's good to be with you. I've anticipated this time. I've concluded my work at First Baptist in Owosso last Sunday. It was an emotional time. I couldn't even sing the last hymn of the last service because of the emotions. But I concluded my ministry on a good note there. But I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad to be here at Pastor Laura Lee's pulpit. And the second thing I want to say is she is your pastor. And I will not be taking that position. So please continue, and I'm sure you will continue to look upon Laura Lee as your pastor. And I'm so happy to be able to be here and support her and her work. She has done that for me through the years. And one of the goals as we moved in this direction was for me to return that blessing to her. So continue to hold her up, pray for her, and lift her up as your pastor. I will not be taking that spot in any way. So please look upon me as one of you with some gifts and call to ministry, but I'll be one of you supporting Pastor Laura Lee. And I want to say, you made a good choice. I'm going to brag about her for a minute, but she is one fine pastor. I hope you know that. Not perfect. I could tell you the way she's not perfect, but that's between the two of us. But I will tell you, she's not perfect, but she's better than me and in so many ways. And I've always thought she's a better preacher than I am. My style's a little less formal probably in the pulpit than hers. She is a wonderful and gifted communicator, and I hope that you will continue to support and appreciate her. But I'm so glad that you called her here and glad to be along for her ministry among you. 1947. How many of you were alive in 1947? You'll have to admit your age now for a little bit. Some of you were alive way before then, but 1947, a World War II hero named Chuck Yeager came up against a barrier that many said could not be broken. Who knows what that barrier was? David? The sound barrier. The sound barrier. He was flying an X-1 screaming rocket dropped from a B-29, and he had the right stuff, and he was able to hold that rocket plane steady and fly into history by breaking the sound barrier, Mach 1. A dozen men had died trying to break the same barrier, and Chuck Yeager, he persevered in hardship and near crashes and naysayers and doomsayers, and I would imagine there was probably a preacher or two who said, if he breaks the barrier, all the world's going to fall apart. But he held it together, and he accomplished that feat that many said could not be done. He broke the sound barrier. And the first sonic boom was heard when Chuck Yeager flew that rocket ship. We encounter barriers in life. All of us encounter barriers in life. None of us will face the sound barrier, will break the sound barrier like he did. But we all face barriers in different aspects and dimensions of our life. Weight loss barriers. I've got a weight loss barrier that I can't seem to break, and I'm not telling you what it is. Employment barriers, financial barriers, relationship barriers. That gets a little more serious if there's a relationship that you can't quite break through and establish in the way you might want to. Racial barriers, gender barriers, those exist in our culture to the shame of this humanity and to the grievance of God. And spiritual barriers. Spiritual barriers exist as well. Well, the good news of the gospel of Christ is that barriers can be broken. Barriers can be broken. Jesus overcame the barriers he faced, the barriers of religious and political structures, of sexism in his day, of betrayal, even death itself. Jesus was one who overcame barriers. Today and for the next couple of weeks, I want to share with you some teachings from God's Word about breaking through the barriers. Those are my sermon theme for the next 3 weeks, today and the next couple of weeks. Breaking through the barriers that we face spiritually. I want us to kind of dig deep into God's Word and look at some of the stories in God's Word that show us that when we break through barriers, God's blessings begin to flow and abundant life, abundant spiritual life begins to be experienced. Countless saints, some in this church, have done it before us. Some at First Baptist Owosso. I praise God for the saints at First Baptist Owosso who broke through some barriers, some opposition, and began to experience a richer fellowship with God, a richer spiritual life. So I want to address these topics over the next couple of weeks. I have two questions that I want to kind of answer before I read the scripture and share today's message with you. The first question is this. What are the barriers? What are these barriers? Sometimes they're people. Sometimes the barrier to a richer spiritual walk, a richer spiritual life, a better experience as a church family, sometimes it's people. I might be a barrier to you. I hope that doesn't come to be, but it could happen. And under God's grace, we'll work at that and overcome that barrier. Sometimes there are attitudes that become barriers. Sometimes the barriers are lies that we've believed or lies that we are protecting about our lives. Sometimes the barriers are hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Sometimes the barriers are beliefs that really don't stand up to Scripture. Sometimes the barriers are sins that we're hiding. Sometimes the barriers are just laziness. Lots of barriers. Sometimes the barriers are at the periphery of our lives, and other times these barriers might be at the core of our lives. There are many types and categories of barriers. Second question, and then I'll get on with this message. What is keeping you and I from breaking through the spiritual barriers in life? What is keeping us from breaking through? Lack of faith? Is it lack of faith? Is it lack of commitment? Is it lack of time, lack of money, lack of knowledge? We need to dig deeper into our own souls and find, as I share these messages, look at and find what barriers exist and what's keeping us from grabbing hold of some richer faith and breaking through those barriers. I believe the church needs to be a place where people break through those kinds of barriers. That's what the church is supposed to be, a fellowship of saints journeying forward through the barriers into a richer walk with God. And I need to break through some barriers as well. Well, let me read for you now the story from Exodus chapter 33 that will show us and reveal to us one of the barriers that I'm speaking of. And I want you to listen for that barrier. I think you'll pick up on it pretty quickly. From Exodus 33, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you had brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I will destroy you on the way." When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I would destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Well, God, I ask you to anoint the words that I share, which you have planted in my heart for your people. I pray, God, you would anoint them with your Spirit and it would take my words, my reflections, and turn them into your truth for your people. I thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity this day to for all of us to open your word and find a barrier and break through. Lord, thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, did you see the barrier in this passage of Scripture? It's expressed in one simple gripping phrase that just jumps out at us. Stiff-necked people. You stiff-necked people. Now, there's something, this is something you really don't want to hear from your God, is it? If you were to have a moment and a conversation with Jesus, with God, you would hope that he wouldn't walk up to you and say, boy, you're a stiff-necked pain in the rear. But that's about what God said through Moses to Israel on this occasion. The Hebrew phrase here is kitasa, kitasa. It occurs for the very first time just in the previous chapter, in chapter 32. If you flip back in your Bible one page, or maybe it's on the same page for you, you'll find in chapter 32 the people of Israel being led out of Egypt by Moses. Moses has been faithful to God's call to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Moses had confronted the Pharaoh, and he secured the release of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. Israel was now free. But it wasn't long before they began to cry out for an idol to worship. And so what we find in chapter 32 is the story of the golden calf. Israel saying, that's fine, we have Moses, we have Aaron, but we really want an idol that we can get our hands on and worship. As Moses leaves the scene, they begin to clamor for this idol. And so they become this stiff-necked people. What did God mean by stiff-necked people? Well, stiffness of the neck is a common symptom of encephalitis or brain fever. Maybe some of you have had that. It can also, by the way, I will testify, be a symptom of getting older. And I know that it's harder for me to back up a car than it used to be because I can't turn my head as far as I used to. So it might be a part of that. But I don't believe that's what God was talking about here. He's not talking about an illness that had come upon the Israelites that caused their necks literally, physically, to become stiff and inflexible. It's most likely, and it's very easy for us to assume, that this is a character trait. It's a personality, a characteristic, an argumentative stubbornness, an aggressive a sort of attitude, an internally combative and divisive attitude within the Israelites. You don't know anybody like that, do you? You're not like that, are you? But God found in His chosen people a spiritual stubbornness, and He didn't like it. And this character trait kept them from being flexible, from accepting change, from looking around to discover all that God was doing in their midst as they traveled towards the promised land. Because they had become stiff-necked, they were missing what God wanted to do. And because they were missing what God wanted to do, they were also going to be missing God's presence. The important thing here for us to note is because they were stiff-necked, God said, I won't go with you into the promised land. That's pretty radical, pretty extreme. God wanted to bless His chosen people with the promised land. God was ready to drive out the Canaanites and all those other ites that are mentioned there in Scripture and open the door to the promised land. And He wanted to dwell with them in that promised land. He didn't want to stand off from afar and see them taking the promised land and watch from a distance. He wanted to dwell with them in some mysterious way. But because of their stiff-necked attitudes, God's presence was withheld. Their desire for an idol became a barrier to God's blessing and presence in their midst. My brothers and sisters in Christ, our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of blessing. Our God is a God who wants to bless His creation and dwell with it. When God called out to Abraham, He said, I call out to you so that all the peoples of the world might be blessed. This is why God called out to Moses, that Israel might experience the freedom and blessing of God's presence. This is why Jesus died on the cross, so that we might be with Him in eternity, experience God's presence. It's why God sent the Holy Spirit to the church, so that the church might have the power of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit as we minister in our day and our time. While we know some of these blessings, I think we fail to experience the fullness of these blessings, that God wants to be with us in a powerful way. The barrier in Israel's life was this desire for an idol. And one reality we have to recognize about God is that if there's an idol in our life, the fullness of God's presence cannot take place, cannot be experienced. Because God is a jealous God, and He's not going to compete with an idol. They wanted a God, Israel wanted a God that they could see, that they could get their hands on, that they could control in a sense. They wanted one that they could shape and they could define, and so they created the golden calf. And what they sacrificed because of it was the presence of God in their midst. Idolatry. That's the barrier here. That's the barrier that keeps God from blessing us with His wonderful presence. In our day, in our lives, idolatry can still take its ugly form. Maybe it's gluttony, where food is God. I've struggled with that one. Maybe it's greed, where money is God. Maybe it's drug or sexual addiction, where pleasure is God. Maybe it's a controlling behavior, where power is God. Maybe it's disobedience where I am God. Golf can be God in your life. Oh, sorry, did I offend anybody about that one? A perfect lawn can be God in your life. TV can be God. Music, even church music, can become God. Buildings can become God. Traditions can become God. The internet can become God. Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff can become the focus of your life, the devotion of your life. It's all idolatry. If you are giving yourself to something more or before you are giving yourself to the one true God, it's idolatry, it's a barrier, and God cannot be fully present. Idolatry keeps us from experiencing God's blessings, especially the one blessing that is above all the others, and that is the fullness and wonderful presence of God in a powerful way in our lives. The greatest blessing that God has to give is His presence. Isn't that what we celebrate with the birth of Christ and at Christmas? We celebrate not just a baby being born, but Emmanuel, God with us. Because that's what we want most of all. God with us, or more accurately stated, to be in God's presence with Him. The blessing Israel was kept from by their idolatry was not the promised land. They did eventually get the promised land. You know that story with Joshua, and they crossed the Jordan River and moved into the promised land. And it wasn't a land full of milk and honey. It was a land full of conflict because Israel consistently disobeyed God and failed to experience His presence. In verse 5, you can go to the promised land, but I'm not going with you because right now I'd rather kill you. That's what God said to Israel because of the idolatry which became the barrier. I want to ask you on this occasion, is there an idol in your life that is blocking the blessing of God's presence in your home, in your workplace, in your spiritual life? God asks to be God in your life. He wants the throne in your heart, but He is not going to force His way in. He will not demand it. He will simply give you an opportunity to experience the fullness of God's presence in your life if you set the idols aside. In my grandmother's home church, Wesley United Methodist Church in Quarryville, PA, and my grandmother, my dad's mother, went to be with the Lord about 15 years ago. But in that church, we occasionally would visit because we lived at some distance, but we would visit her church when we were back in southeast Pennsylvania. And behind the pulpit in that church was a very large painting, very large. It was dominating to the whole scene in this little United Methodist church, where we Baptists often have the baptistry. At my church in Owosso, the baptistry was right behind the choir. Where we might have a baptistry as Baptists, they had this big picture. In this big picture was a portrayal of Jesus standing at a large door in a garden. Now, have you seen this picture? You know which one I'm talking about? Jesus standing at a large door in a garden scene, and his hand is raised, and he's knocking on the door. But there's something unique about the door. If you study the door a little while, there's no knob, no latch on the door. The knob, the latch, is on the other side. And the theological significance of that is if you want to experience Christ coming in, God's presence in your life, you have to open the door. The latch is on your side. The control to the presence of God is on your side because God respects our freedom. He wants us to invite Him in. I studied that picture as a kid growing up, and I didn't initially get the significance of that particular aspect of the picture, but I understand it now. That if we want to experience the fullness of Christ in our lives, in our church fellowship, in our ministries, we have to set aside all the idols and put our eyes on Jesus, hear that knock, and open that door. It's our privilege to do so. And if we will do so, God has promised His strong presence in the church. Every church has known the strong presence of God on occasions. We need to know it more. That's true at Owosso, that's true here, that's true down the street and up the street and in the big mega church and in the tiniest of country churches. We need the presence of God in our midst. We can't do this without Him, without God's Spirit. We need to know it more, so we need to confess and tear down the idols that are there, look at them for what they are, the idol of peace at all costs. That was one of the struggles at my church in Owosso. For a while, we would do anything to keep the peace in the family, but there comes a time when that comfort, that peace, becomes a bit of a distraction and an idol that has to be sacrificed. And so we've paid some difficult prices at my ministry in Owosso over the years, and two occasions. Painful experiences. But because we were willing to walk through that gate, we were able to experience more of the fullness of God in that church. The idol of comfort and familiarity must come down. The idol of something for nothing must come down. The wonderful promise of God, testified to in all of Scripture and proven to us in the birth of Jesus in the manger, is that God desires to be with us wherever we are called to go. God wants us in His presence. God invites us into His presence. All we need to do is break through the barriers. Whatever that barrier might be, break through the barriers. If it's an idol, break it down. Let our necks get a little flexible so that we can look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for Your word to us this day, which challenges us in a deep way. I thank You, God, that under the authority of Your Spirit, Lord, we are leading us forward. As individuals, Lord, You want us to experience more and more of the presence of Your Spirit in our lives, and we thank You for that. Lord, show us the idols. Show me those things in my life that are barriers to Your presence, and we ask You, O God, show that to all of us. As we have fellowship together with You in this church, thank You, God, for this word today. May it speak to the depths of our hearts. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, As We Depart to Serve, number 341, if you'd turn to that and let's sing together as we prepare to go out to serve.
Father of glorious, Lord of victorious.
We are God's people for this time and this day. Let us go forth to love and serve the Lord. Amen.